WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
All because you've nurtured a little devil on the inside of you named sin. Now watch this, what James says next. He says, then sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That is, when sin has had its way with you and has milked you dry of every last ounce of life in you, when sin is finished with you, it bringeth forth death. It'll discard you on the side of the road. That's what it does. Also in chapter 1, James reminds us where good gifts come from. And that we ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry about something. That was my sermon last week. Next to last, James tells us to be doers of what? The word. Doers of the word. And not just hearers, deceiving yourself. Because if you just listen to the word of God and agree with it, but then you don't act on what you hear by either me preaching it or by you reading it on your own, then according to James, you're deceiving yourself. That is, you're not doing yourself any good. You're wasting your time. If you hear me preach you the word of God, and God tells you to do something, like Darren said in Sunday school, and you don't do it, then you're wasting your time. You've deceived yourself. You deceive yourself into thinking you're right with God when you're not. He's told you to do something, and you haven't done it. Be doers of the word. But the Bible calls you blessed here in verse 25. If you do what it says, there's great blessings for you by doing what God says in His word. Incredible blessings. Why is this so difficult? I know it's not here in this church. Who wants to do the word of God in here? Listen to the promises, He says. But like I said, we do what the word says. Remember, do what the word says and you'll be blessed. Do what the word says and you will be blessed. Obey the Lord and obey His word and you will be blessed. Love what God loves. Hate what God hates and you'll be blessed. Be a doer of the word. Do what He says. Listen to this, Psalm 1:1. It says, blessed. Isn't that funny how the very first word in the book of Psalms is, and that's God's hymnal. We have our Baptist hymnal. This is God's hymnal. First word, first page, first word, first verse is the word blessed. Blessed is the man and the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That is, you don't listen to your crooked friends when they tell you to do something that's contrary to the word. Notice this person too. Notice he goes from walking to standing to parking his fanny over there. He stopped. He should have kept on walking through the valley of death, and he shouldn't have stopped. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now we're going to call the law of the Lord the word of God. God's law. And in his word, he meditates day and night. I'm not saying you have to become a monk. Just take the word with you. When you're eating lunch, read a psalm or a proverb or something. Download it on your phone. Have a devotional in your bathroom. Whatever it takes. Get the word God in you and you'll be blessed. Guarantee it. Meditate on the word. Some people have more time than others. When I first was saved and converted my adult video bookstore into a Christian bookstore, I had like 18 hours a day to read the word of God. That's how I turned into this freak that I am now. I'm addicted to the word. It's like Moses up on the mountain, and I came down and I just can't get enough. I own 400 or 500 Bibles. Most every cent I spend is on Bibles. I can't get enough. And you people have to pay the brunt of that. I hope that's, thank you. Thank you. Hope you guys are blessed by that. Because I know this, God is good. And God is for me. And I share that with you. And not only me, because the same guy James wrote that God's not a respecter of persons. Matter of fact, we're going to read that in a minute, and I don't even have that written down. He doesn't love me any more than he does you, and he's not willing or wanting or need to bless me more than he does you. Blessed is the man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither. And there's a promise you take to the bank. Psalm 1, verse 4. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. It's probably where that old Greek mythology comes from, right? Old King Midas, right? Everything that he touched turned to gold. Same thing with you, only this is real. Whatsoever, when you make the word of God the focus of your life, when you do what God says in this book, when you don't do what God warns you about because he loves you, everything whatsoever you do shall prosper. Now, who wants that in their life? Praise God. The Midas touch on all doers of the word of God. All right, lastly in chapter 1, James uses a word that I can't recall is found anywhere in the Bible. And that word is religion. Religion's in the Bible. Man, oh man, that word religion, it's got such a bad reputation today. From supposed Christian slackers who want to eat, drink, and be merry and not be accountable to anyone for their lifestyle. And they call those people, oh, they're just religious. No, you just refuse to do what God says in his word. Do what God says. Don't call me religious. Well, we're going to read what James calls religious here in a minute. But they always trash religion. I hear it so many times. But not James. James commends true religion. Look at this. We're in chapter 1, verse 26. And we'll get this sermon started this morning. Hope no one's got any plans. And this is a short sermon. I had to get Darren to come up with a song at the end. It's so short. Thank you, God. Lord, we praise you. You're so good to me when I don't deserve it. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for these good people here. Thank you for filling this house with excellent souls. We exalt you. I exalt you. Continue to minister to us this morning through your word. Continue to fellowship with us and dwell with us here this morning. No better place to be than in your presence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anyone, this is chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not shut his yap. Isn't that funny how those two are linked together? What has being religious got to do with shutting your yap? If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, like Secretariat, we got to stick a gag in there, pull back on those reins. Isn't that funny? He links being religious against having a, what does Ralph Cramden say? I've got a big mouth. So you guys don't remember the Honeymooners. If anyone among you thinks that he is religious, but does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his own heart, this person's religion is useless. For pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, Notice, here comes his list. There's always a list after a colon. Pure and undefiled religion before God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble or distress, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. But since James brought tongues into this, you see, it's not what you say to someone, it's what you do to genuine people that need help. That's what he means by this. It's not what you say and blow heart and how much you say about being a Christian. It's again, James is going to say next week, I will show you my faith by my works. I'll show you who I am, but what I do out here for Christ. Pure and undefiled religion is this, is helping people out here that don't have a loaf of bread. That's pure religion. It's not what you say to someone. It's what you do to genuine people out here that need help. You want to find true religion? Should have been here yesterday. You would have seen some of it. This church fed 67 people, including 12 children. That's pure religion. Some people aren't as blessed. They don't have a loaf of bread. Want to find true religion? Go on over here to First Baptist of Merritt Island tomorrow morning. You want to talk about pure religion? You go on over and see what happens there. Thousands of people come there. They take buses from the length of the county, from Grant to Titusville. They take buses to come here. Flat tires will be fixed on their bikes. They'll get a new bike. They'll get a shower. They get new clothes. They get food. That is pure and undefiled religion. Helping those. Helping those that don't have anything. Religion's not a dirty word. I encourage you to have pure and undefiled religion. All right, now here in chapter 2, James has a strong word for churches that treat visitors different according to their social status. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not have or hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring. Now the King James here says, in goodly apparel. And there coming also a poor man in vile raiment. And you have respect to him that wears the nice clothing. And you say to him, sit over here in a good place. And say to the poor person, you stand over there or sit under my chair over here. Sit under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves? And have you not become judges of evil thoughts? Yikes. James says that if we're guilty of this, treating visitors different depending on how much money they apparently have, then we become judges with evil thoughts. Verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those that love him? Boy, isn't that exactly the case too, isn't it? You guys that work and volunteer at the food pantry, haven't you seen some people down and out that have great faith that come through these doors? Amen. Don't you see it every week? Don't you see that they might be suffering on one end, but God has blessed them abundantly on the other? And he's saying you're better off to be poor and have great faith than to be rich and have none. Verse 9. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressors. God bless you. Verse 10. For whosoever, that would mean you and me, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble or offend at one point is guilty of all. Yikes again. Whoever keeps the whole law, whoever keeps all the words in here, whoever does everything that God says and makes one itty-bitty, teeny-weeny slip-up of a sin and one mistake, the Bible says you're guilty of the whole thing. Guilty. Guilty. Everyone guilty. Guilty is charged. This is the verse to show people that think that they're not bad people. Have you ever met someone? Well, I'm not a bad person. I help little old ladies across the street. I take my neighbor's garbage can out to the front on Wednesday night. I'm not a bad person. Maybe we ought to look at it ourselves. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. The problem with that type of rationalizing is that you're wrong, friend. If that's what you think about yourself, you're wrong. That's not the way God views you. Whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point, God this morning calls you guilty. You're guilty before the judge. And Paul says that the wages of sin is death. Jesus says, no one is good, no, not one. Uh-oh. Now I'm really in trouble. Paul said, if I sin, the wages, that is, you've earned it, you have it coming to you. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus says, no one is good, not one, but God is the only one that's good. So all the world stands guilty before a holy God. I'll tell you what. We're in hot water this Sunday morning, 11:26 on Sunday morning, June the 6th, June the 5th. I don't care what day it is, we're in trouble. What do you do? Now that I've convicted every living soul on planet Earth, let's offer the life preserver to every living soul as well. Because James here has put the hurt on everyone this morning. Everyone with ears to hear, he's hurt us this morning. But that's not the end of the story. The Bible says in John, 1 John 1:9, it makes this conditional promise. It says, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, and that word confess, it's not like, anyone here watch Perry Mason at night? You know, they run to, then at the very end they go, oh, I did it. That's not what the word means. The word means to agree with God. Homo legeo. Legeo means to speak. Homo one. Speak the same. To speak, meaning you're going to agree with God with what he already knows. He already knows us. He knows our condition. You're not confessing something he doesn't. Oh, I was wondering about that. He knows everything. To confess means to agree with God. You're going to agree with God that you're a sinner. You're going to agree with God that you missed the mark, that you dropped the ball, that you sinned against the holy God. Look at the promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. That is, he'll do it every time. And he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's good news. That's good news. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're here to get right with God here this morning. We hear his word, we do what he says, and we walk out of this door as clean as the, or as pure, I say it jokingly, but it's the truth. You can walk out these doors today as pure as the driven snow. At least until you get on the scratch marks on your car or whatever else might make you. You say, well, that's not sin. Well, if you're angry, what time does the sun go down in Isla Mirada? 7:58. If you're angry about it at 8 o'clock, you've done it again. And you see, when that's us, you see, we need help. We need help because God is a holy God. And he's going to hold us accountable for the sins that we committed. And thank God, there is good news, and that is he held Jesus accountable. Jesus took our place so that God would not judge us. He judged his son. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus died for you and took your place so that you wouldn't have to. One last verse. It's Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess, funny, there's the same Greek word again. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You're not cluing God in on something he doesn't know. You're agreeing with God with what he already knows. And that is Jesus Christ is Lord of all. If we confess, if we agree with God that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's your Lord, are you able to do that? Have you done it? See, this promise is for both people. It's for you and I that are already Christians that have maybe slipped up and have sinned and need to get right with God. Or this promise is if you've never been right with God. And if you still got this Damocles, sword of Damocles, hanging over your forehead. It's for you too. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe there's more to this life than living and dying? Do you believe death is not the end? Do you believe in the empty grave? Do you believe God has the power over death? I'd say everyone qualifies around here. Those are his requirements. You agree with God over who Jesus is. Even the demons believe and tremble. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him up, you shall be saved. How, that's good news, Jim. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Again, this gavel, truly, I only use for good. It's a word picture of what God does with your soul when you call on the name of the Lord Jesus. He's got his own gavel up in heaven. And when you do what he says here, when you agree with him over who Jesus is and that he's your Lord, he slams this down on his gavel. He looks at you and he says, not guilty. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You are officially absolved of every sin you've ever committed. All by confessing the name of the Lord and by calling him your Lord. That's his promise that he will do with you. That's really all I've got to say here this morning.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Mark Vollmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
You know, God wants us to be saved so much that he gives illustrations all over the Bible. And you'll never see salvation pictured more clearly than you do in Noah's Ark. That ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the ark. It's like a great coffin. It doesn't have a prow. It doesn't have a stern. It doesn't have a helm because it's under the control of Almighty God. It is keeping the judgment waters out. And God says, put a door in the side. And God says, Noah, I'll take care of the door. Put a window in the ceiling. You take care of the window. What's all this about? Well, that door is the door that God sealed. And when God sealed it, nobody could open it. But the window Noah could open and he could look up. You see, what are we? We are in Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and it is in Jesus that we know God the Father. Is that not true? That when we come into him, we're closed in to look up. The way that we look into heaven is through Jesus Christ, the ark of safety.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Store. And they say, be who you want.